Praise the Lord. How many are you so full that God can pour you out? That's the question. We ask God to do different things through us, but do we have it in us to do it? You can only pour out what you have in. And the body of Christ needs to be at a place where we're so full that God can pour us out in any given time. You know, he doesn't have to wait for us to be full. We are already filled to overflowing. You know, we need to be praying for this sickness that's going around. It's really striking a lot of people. And we just, if you look around and see who isn't here this morning, it's because they got up sick. And so we've just been praying for them that God will heal them of whatever it is that's come across the land like a plague. Amen. God is here in a powerful way right now. Some of you came in hopeless, hurting, insecure. And God's here right now to really minister to you, to give you a peace that passes all understanding. You know, this is not a negative statement. It's just a truth. It's going to get darker. The trials and tribulations are going to get harder. But we still have God. And this is what gives us hope. And this is what keeps us going forward to encourage others to go forward. That we know that we know that we have the Father. And you know, as you read the Bible from front to back, you see there's always wars and rumors of wars. And if you really dig deep into it, you find out there was always problems. All kind of problems in society. So why is it that all of a sudden we think this is something unfamiliar? Is it because we've been told a lie all of our lives? You know, we were always told everything is just receive Jesus and everything's going to be hunky-dory. It isn't the way it is. And so we have a false notion of really what following God's all about. And now since the world is crumbling down around about us, we don't know what to do. Now, we shouldn't include the church, should it? We should just include those who don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God is so full of love and mercy and grace. You know, he actually changed the sermon for this morning at the last minute last night. And as I watched you come in back there, that's why I sort of like sit back there. I can see what's going on. As I watched you come in, I said, God, now I know why you're doing what you did, what you're going to do. God knows what you have need of. He knows where your heart's at. He knows everything about you. And if we was to take a poll in here, there isn't one person sitting in this room that isn't going through some sort of trial or tribulation. That you don't have some pain of some sort in your heart. Because life has not been good. But I do want to encourage you this morning that God is still on the throne. He's always going to be on the throne. And I hope that he's always on the throne of your heart. That you won't leave him when things get rough. Because he gave me a word today right before I came to church. And he said, things are really going to get bad. But my people aren't ready for that. And even though look at your own home. Even though things are wrong in your own home, don't you still have a peace because you have the Father? And you it doesn't matter what's going on around about you. It doesn't really take you out. What it does is make you get closer to the Father through prayer. I want to encourage each and every one of you that took your time to get dressed and to come out into the house of God and to tell you that God is in control. He is totally and completely in control, and he's never lost control. He knows everything that you're ever going to go through. Now, and if you get a real personal relationship with him, he'll tell you beforehand what you're going to go through. And he'll also tell you how it's going to turn out so that you don't lose hope in the middle of the storm. And I'm encouraging each one of you here this morning to get a really, really close relationship with the Father. You know, you don't have to be in a closed-in room. You're walking down the street, driving in your car. Just start talking to him. And then watch and see what he's going to do with you. Because right now, he wants us to talk to him. He wants us to pull on him like we've never pulled on him before. And just like, I don't remember what he said, you know, right at the shofar, but it was an encouraging word. God is always here to encourage each and every one of us. He's no respecter of persons. He knows exactly what you have need of this morning. And right now, what God's really, he's dealing with somebody's heart in here this morning. He's really trying to draw you closer, and this is why we're not going any further right now. He wants to draw you so close to his heart that you won't ever want to walk away from it ever again. You young people in here, you know, the revivals are still going on in the colleges. And what God is doing, he's having a revival. He's started a revival in the young people. Why not here in Delaware? Why not you young people here in Delaware? We have plenty of universities with young people in them, but I haven't seen God move in any of them yet. Why not right here today in the church? Plenty of young people right here this morning. And I'm glad to see that because you are the ones that God is going to use right now. You are the ones with all your hurts and all your pains and all your discouragements. He's going to use you to bring in that world out there. How many of you know that world has grown so cold? It has no emotions no more. You know, it's like a dog-eat-dog world. You know that, don't you? Doesn't that bother you some? That bothers me a whole lot. Because being a little bit older than you are, I was in a place where we had peace. And everybody had compassion, but that's all gone. And you know, why are we fighting one another? We should be working together. And God gave me that word he gave me this morning at home. He said he wants unity. He doesn't want to have the big guy and the little guy. We're all just guys. And we're just all joining together for the same purpose. And that's to let everybody know what we know, that there is a Jesus. There's a heaven, there's a hell. And we want to encourage them to come forth and receive Christ. And we want them to know the joy that we know. Even in the midst of the biggest storm of your life, you still have the joy of the Lord, don't you? You know, only the devil, you know, the devil can't steal your joy. Only you can give it to him. And sometimes, some days, you're just going to have to just cry out to God to hold on to that joy. And when you do, God will be there and the devil won't be able to steal any of that joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. I don't know about you, but I serve a God that's always on time. I serve a God that's always right there, even before I need him. He knows I need him. So he's there beforehand. And so when all the trials and the tribulations start coming, we just grab onto his hand and he leads us. And God says, don't be like the foolish Galatians, but take his hand this morning. Allow him to lead, guide, and direct you everywhere you go. Don't ever go anywhere unless God speaks to you to go. But the way the world is, you could get yourself in a big mess if it isn't God telling you where to go and what to do. I just said something to somebody yesterday. I said, you know, When you first started telling me about this, you was all happy and delighted. But when you heard what I had to say, then you started agreeing with me. I said, don't do that. Don't do that. You stay in your place of happiness and delight. Right now, I don't have the green light from God to go there. I just don't. And so I'm not going to go unless God tells me to go. There's nothing wrong. Maybe God already told you to go. You see what I'm saying? Don't let somebody else steal from you what God has spoken to you. Got to work it all out. And I'm not concerned about where you're going. If you're hearing God's voice, I'm not concerned about where you're going because I know you're hearing God's voice. Now, if God tells me to tell you something, I will. But if he doesn't, I won't. Because we each need to hear God's voice for ourselves. And we need to know without a shadow of a doubt that it's God speaking to us. And you know, God's been talking about false prophets on this scene. A false prophet will say, did God really say? And I always tell you, I know that I know that I know that I'm a child of God and that I hear his voice. And so you have to get to that place that you know that you know that you know that you're a child of God and you hear his voice. And the Bible says, Jesus said, no other voice will they follow. Believe me, once you start hearing God's voice, you'll know when the enemy speaks. There's always something just a little bit off and you'll know it's not God. I'm really encouraging each one of you in here this morning. Please be close to God, so close that he's constantly telling you what to do. We can't go out and give what we don't have. And if you're not hearing God's voice of instruction, how are you going to convince somebody else that God really does give you instruction? You can't do that, can you? You have to know the Father, and you have to know his love. And God is saying today is a new day of encouragement for some of you because you have not been led by the voice of the Father. And some of you have been led, but not 100%. And sometimes you allow others to interpret what God's saying to you. I gave a slight little prophecy to Astrid one service, and somebody got up afterwards said, I've never seen that in the Bible. I thought when she was in hell, you was always in hell. And I said, I'll get back with you later because we was ministering. And the person hasn't come back into the church since. But I listened to the prophetic word and it wasn't what she thought it said. And see, so sometimes we can misinterpret what you think you heard, but it wasn't anything that she even talked to me about. But you know, I just say, pray God, show her the truth. And then lead her on. Don't try to make people follow you. The Holy Spirit inside of you is what draws people. So don't try to make people follow you. That's been one of the big mistakes in the house of God. We've allowed others to take us where we're not supposed to go. Or if God has spoken the word where you're supposed to go, we've allowed others to say, well, that really wasn't God. Are you understanding that too? This walk with God is a very precise walk. And there's no room for deviation. We have to know exactly what God is saying to us. This end time dispensation is the best one, but it's also the worst one. We are working on the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't know when he's going to come. You don't know when he's going to come. Jesus doesn't know when he's come. The word says only the Father. But we are supposed to be doing is working, continue working, helping God get the path ready for Jesus to come. God told me, what, 1980, that we were the second John the Baptist, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We still are. And so we have to be on the road continually following God's voice. And I'm also hearing God say, we have to be following the road map that God has placed before our feet, not another man or woman. Because you can really get pulled off real quick out of the will of the Father and then do nothing for God. Amen. Well, Father, I really do thank you and I praise you for what you've already done to the people. And Father God, you have settled in upon us in a sweet way. And Father God, we just receive that sweetness. We receive that peace that passes all understanding. And we receive your instruction, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to go into this. God titled this A Price for Miracles. And a miracle is a supernatural act. A miracle is a surprising and welcome event that is not explainable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency, which is God. Miracles happen every day of your lives. This is God speaking. You just do not know how to recognize them. A miracle can occur in many different ways. The reason my children are always saying, "Where are the signs, wonders, and miracles?" is because they are not looking for the correct thing. Now, this is God. Everything in green is God. Look around about you each and every day, and I guarantee you that you will begin to see miracles everywhere. When a bird sings, that is a miracle. When a baby is born, that's a miracle. When the flowers bloom, that is a miracle. We can go on and on and on, but I want to teach you more of my miracle working strategy. The biggest miracle that could ever occur is the changes I make within your temple to prepare you for my use. How many of you in here, you know, don't throw your hands up, but just think, how many of you in here, you know that something's working on the inside of you? Something different is stirring. You don't think the way you used to think. You don't even act the way you used to act. This is God working his miracles inside of you. Children, the first thing you need to understand is where miracles come from. Miracles come from above, and miracles are poured out because of my love for the vessels that I created. We aren't having nursery because there's sickness upstairs. Now, some of the real young ones could go back into the sink, back into the office with the other two young boys. Does somebody want to round the real young ones up and take them back there, please? Well, I go on teaching. Okay, as the children, the first thing you need to understand is where miracles come from. Miracles come from above, and miracles are poured out because of my love for the vessels that I created. The die has been cast, and every miracle I am ever going to perform is already in the making. See that? God already knows what you have need of. You see, I always plan everything out before it ever occurs. I never do anything haphazardly, and I am never caught off guard by anything that occurs all across this land. All must understand that I am a miracle-working father, and I so delight in showering my children with miracle after miracle. Look at my word. Was not the way the earth was created a miracle? God says, absolutely. And I want to stop her and give a little bit of a testimony. I had COVID. It'll be 2 years ago, August. But before I ever got it, God said, you're going to come down with a sickness. You're going to get so sick that you think you're dying. And he said, if you're not careful, you could get addicted to drugs that you take for it. Well, I was well one day. Next morning, I got deathly ill, couldn't get out of bed. I think I was sick that way for 2 weeks. But in those 2 weeks, I died two times. How do I know that? Because I saw myself young, happy, and energetic, and I was standing with my clothes that I wore when I was, say, 30. But God said to me, even in this sickness, you will not die. I'm going to raise you up. And so every time, you know, when I knew I was dying, and you know when you're dying, when you're really sick, I said, devil, God told me you could do anything to me but kill me. So you can't kill me, so just go leave me alone. And I came through that. But see, God knew it was going to happen beforehand. He warned me beforehand, so I knew exactly, and I didn't take medication either, because God said whatever medication you're on could get you addicted. And so I didn't know which one it was, so I didn't take nothing. And my two daughters took care of me. I'm telling you, I'm giving you this testimony to let you know that if you get close to God, God will warn you of anything that's going to happen in your life. That's just one testimony. When you're with the devil, he doesn't give you any warning about nothing. He just comes to steal, kill, and destroy every fiber of your being. But we serve a God who wants to perform miracles. Now, in my ministry, I've raised the dead. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle happen. And I've been sick since last August from the after effects of COVID. And I even heard the devil said to me, physician, heal yourself. But before all this happened, God said, you're going through a Job experience. We know what happened with Job. But then he said the church was going through a Job experience. And the church has been going through a Job experience. And so, you know, whenever God said you're going through a Job experience, I knew the story, but I went back and really studied the story and saw everything Job had to go through. You all need to do the same thing. You need to be hearing God's voice continually so that you know how to react to anything that comes your way. The devil has met me face to face 3 times, and we've had long conversations, and he told me all the things he was going to do to me. And then he even said, Wendy, I'm going to kill you. I said, no, you're not. God told me he's going to let you do everything to me but kill me. So, devil, you cannot kill me. Are you understanding this? See, listen to the Father. Talk to the Father. Let him tell you what's going to happen. And then you can be like Jesus whenever Satan was tempting him. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. And I would say, devil, you can't do this because God said. Are you understanding this? Has life been easy? No. No, it hasn't. Read your word. All of God's disciples suffered. But they kept on ministering for God so they could save the lost, right? Jesus paid an ultimate price for you and I to be saved. And God's been telling us you're going to have to die. You're going to have to die to this flesh. You're going to have to quit wanting to be pampered and just go through whatever God is having you go through. If you read about Peter and Paul and those, they all suffered. But they did it how? Happy, rejoicing, singing. They weren't complaining. Are you understanding? We're going to go through these things, children. We really are, hearing God say. Let's go through it right. Let's go through it with rejoicing in victory. All right, so God said, look at my word, was not the way that the earth was created a miracle? Absolutely. Then he says, can you place the stars in the sky and name each and every one of them? Asking you a question. Can you put the heavens above and the earth beneath? Can you place the oceans in their rightful place, draw a line and say no further? That's in Job 38, 1 through 41. Miracle after miracle. Children, throw all your inhibitions to the side and just allow me to use your vessels to perform any miracle I so desire to perform. Throw everything to the side. You know, don't try to make God move. When I was first born again, I just read the word and everything God told me I could do, I did. The only thing I didn't do was walk on water. Y'all know that story. But everything it said I could do, I did. And the people in this area kept telling me, you can't be doing what you're doing. You just cannot be doing what you're doing. And then one day I said, God, am I supposed to be doing this? What did I allow the people to do? Put doubt and unbelief and destroy my faith. And that's when the miracles stopped. Are you listening? Whatever's in the word is exactly what God wants you two to do. You don't worry about anything else that anybody else is saying. What does the word say that you can do? That is what you can do. we had deliverance when we first opened churches. This area said, oh, she's the devil. Don't go in there. She's a cult. She's this, she's that, and the other. And now what's going on? Deliverance is everywhere. But God said, you're a forerunner, and you're paving the way for others to follow. And even though we was performing miracles, raising the dead and whatever, you know, we were a forerunner church. We still are. We were preparing a way for the other churches to say, oh, well, I guess they can do it. We can do it too. We're not doing it. Our faith was in the Father and in what his word said. And God told me one time, whatever you place your hand to do, I'll finish it for you. You know, if you claim that you believe in healing, then you're going to have to lay your hand on the sick and let God perform whatever needs to be formed on them. I've had a lot of people pray for me, but see, I know that in the right time, God's going to heal me. And so I really don't need prayer for healing. I need prayer for strength to endure until God, just like he did Job, finally God, Job, healed Job, right? So guys, let's not let other people run our lives. Let Jesus run our lives. Let him be the one that tells you what to do. Children, throw all of your inhibitions to the side and just allow me to use your vessels to perform any miracle I so desire to perform. You have not been seeing lasting miracles occur for a couple decades now because of the doubt and unbelief that has been allowed to infiltrate my houses. My houses should be full of miracles, one after, and this is so true, one after another. You talk about miracles, but do you actually see miracles? No, I don't know about you, but no, I am not right now. I'm not going to lie. No, I am not. Because I know what a miracle is, and I know what a miracle isn't. You see a miracle happen when you prayed, but the next day that miracle is not there. No, I tell you that you have not seen real miracles. Real miracles occur and last. They do not just fade away because a night has passed. So you see, little ones, you have not yet encountered the everlasting miracle-working power that I need you to walk in. And I tell you, before this year ends, miracles will flood this earth. And I so desire that you be right in the very center of the miracle working power. Stay close to me and allow me to be the one to keep the anointing continually flowing through you. See, what this means here is, guys, when you go out to the grocery store, you walk by people, they're going to say, what did you do to me? The miracle, the anointing will flow out of your body. And you, I'm sitting because it happened to me. And I said, I didn't do anything to you. Yes, you did. You touched me. And I said, no, I promise you, I did not touch you. Well, I got healed. I didn't touch them. The anointing was inside. It was a continual flow. And they were healed. And at my workplace, people would come and sit at a chair by my desk. I don't want to talk to you, Barbara. I just want to, you know, I worked at the college and, you know, we was in the registrar's office, so we counseled people. We always had a chair by the desk. And they said, I just want to sit here. Because when I sit here, I feel a peace. It wasn't, you know, I didn't touch it, didn't say nothing, but the peace of God that was in me flowed out and touched these people's lives. This is where we're at right now, guys. This is where God has his people at right now. He wants all these miracles to be manifested all the time. Are you listening? And when I was evangelizing, you know, I took my mother with me a lot. And, you know, the people would run to me and hug me and cry. And my mother said, well, if it was a man, they're lusting after you. No, they weren't. It was the Holy Spirit inside of me that drew those people. It wasn't to me, it was to the Jesus inside. So you should have Jesus so strong inside of you that no matter where you go, and this happened to me every place, no matter where you go, people would be drawn to the Holy Spirit inside of you. But what happens is people think they're full of pride, think, oh, look how they like me. No, I'm sorry, you're just a vessel that has Jesus in you so strong that it can draw others to Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But this is where God wants us to be right now today, not a year from now, right now today. where am I at? Allow me to use you as a vessel of honor that will lead the unbeliever into my kingdom of light. Church, rise to the calling I placed upon you in this dispensation of time. God wants each one of you. You know, you didn't come here just by happenstance. Well, so-and-so invited me. No, the Holy Spirit drew you through the other person. And God's telling you this morning, I want to use each one of you as vessels of honor that I can work through. These young kids, you're trying to stay awake. Do you know young kids like them are now preaching in other states? They're preaching, they're laying hands on the sick, they're being healed. All kind of miracles are happening through these young kids. Delaware is dead to Christ. We need to, just us in this room today, we could make Delaware alive. If we would just put our trust in God and just truly, truly believe, not just say, I think I'll try this thing. That's why I could never walk on water. I would try it to see if it really worked. And it never worked. I didn't have enough faith to walk on water. You can walk on water, you know. Didn't Peter? The story's in there for a reason. You can walk on water. But your faith has, I had faith for everything except that. Isn't that dumb? You know, if you go and raise the people from the dead, why can't you walk in a little pool of water in your driveway? Lack of faith. That's why we're not seeing miracles, such a lack of faith. You cannot be a miracle carrier if you are still having issues with a brother or sister. That is the truth, and I'm not going to alter that truth for anybody. In other words, you have to love everybody. You have to forgive everybody. I don't care what they did to you. You say you love me, but you still cannot truly love your brother or sister. The biggest miracle you ever see is when you can honestly wash your brother and sister's feet and truly accept them for who they are. I had a foot washing service here and only two people washed somebody else's feet. And I knew the whole church should have been washing feet. You're not ready yet to forgive. It is keeping you from being a vessel that miracles work through. John 13:12, when Jesus finished washing the disciples' feet, he put on his clothes and went back to the table. And he asked, do you understand what I did for you? You call me teacher and you call me Lord. And this is right because that is what I am. I am your Lord and teacher, but I washed your feet, so you also should wash each other's feet. I did this as an example for you, so you should serve each other just as I served you. Believe me, servants are not greater than their master. Those who are sent to do something are not greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, great blessings will be yours if you do them. You talk about loving the unlovable, but in the same breath you come against the ones I have placed over you. But that is nothing new. I placed my son Jesus over you, and you came against him also. You blasphemed him, and you totally neglected the weightier issues. But what does Jesus say are the weightier matters of the law? In Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. That's the weightier matters of the law. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. How can you say you love the Father and you don't love the people around about you? Think about that. How can you say that you love the Father and you don't like you don't love a black sister, brother, or white sister, brother, or Mexican, or whatever they are? What is wrong with us? What is wrong with our eyes that we distinguish color or accents or what? What is wrong with the church? Jesus didn't do that. We were all one in his eyes. We still are. And he tells us to love our brother and our sister. You're going to have love, saints, or there's no miracles going to work through you. Absolutely none. Revelation 3:17-18 says, Jesus says, you say you are rich. You think you have become wealthy and don't need anything, but you don't know that you are truly, you're really miserable, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy gold from me, gold made pure in fire. Then you will be rich. I tell you this, buy clothes that are white. Then you'll be able to cover your shameful nakedness. I also tell you to buy medicine to put on your eyes, and you will be able to see. Anoint your eyes with eye salve was a prescription offered by Jesus to the first century Christian congregation in Laodicea, Asia Minor. This was not a literal disease of the eyes, but spiritual blindness that needed treatment. Think about this. How are your eyes? Do you see through the eyes of Jesus? When you look at me, do you see Jesus, or you see me white or black or purple? You see what God's getting at? I am so sick and tired of the hate in the body of Christ. I left the world with hate, and I came into the body of Christ, and I found out the body of Christ was worse than the world. I was never a sinner, but what I mean is, you know, I became born again is what I'm trying to say. Are we showing people love? Are we showing them mercy and long-suffering? You know, the world is messed up. We're not supposed to be messed up, but the body of Christ is. And everybody's afraid to speak about it. Oh, I don't want to lose a congregation. I'd rather lose a congregation than my soul. I really would. Because God told me, he tells us in his word, tells all of us, that the people's blood's going to be in your hands if you don't do what's right and tell the truth. All right, worthy of note is the fact that this eye salve has to be bought. There is a cost involved. Time must be expended to study and meditate on the word of God so we can be more like Jesus and less like the world. I see too much world in the house of God and not enough Jesus. All right, how many of you women, you went into the house of God, you were hurting, really hurting, and you went into the house of God believing that you was going to find comfort there. And the first thing that happened, the deacon of the church comes, sits beside you, and tries to put the make on you. That happens. And you know, and you're hurting, and they're adding hurt upon hurt. We don't do that. Not as children of God, we don't do that. We love those that are hurting, like Jesus does. God said, you say you came to a miracle service, but you don't fully understand what kind of miracle service I was speaking about. The biggest miracle you ever see is your complete transformation from the old to the new. I don't see that either in the house of God. I got a new wineskin. No, you don't. You're still doing the same old things you did before. A new wineskin changes, doesn't it? It gets rid of the old stuff and lets God fill you with brand new. You say, I'm a brand new wineskin and God can fill me full of new wine, but not so. It is not until you can love all peoples that you will be ready to carry this new wine. The enemy will always send a thorn your way, and I know you will have difficulty with a few of them, but you must at all costs learn to love unconditionally. For this is truly the last hour, and the great works must be accomplished in you first, and then carry this great works into a lost and dying world. This is a miracle service, but this evening the miracle is you. Because I said, God, let this be a miracle service today. I say that every service, all right? This is a miracle service, but this evening, the miracle is you becoming like my son, Jesus. My son, Jesus, was full of unadulterated love, and through him, all signs, wonders, and miracles occurred. You will find in my word where my son admonishes you to be like him. And Luke 6:39 says, Jesus told them this story. Can a blind man lead another blind man? No, both of them will fall into a ditch. Students are not better than their teacher, but when they have been fully taught, they will be like their teacher. Okay, guys, so you're out there, you want to win the world. And if you can't walk in love, how are you going to win the world? You can only teach what you have inside of you. And God said that love has to be our foundation, or he can't use us. Put aside all your differences. My Lord, you can't go back and change the past, but you can change the future. You can become the love vessel that God has called us to become. And where there's hate, we're so supposed to take that hate and get rid of it and place love there in its place. Matthew 28:19. So go, and Jesus speaking, so go and make followers of all people in the world, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have told you to do. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of time. See what God says? Jesus said he's always going to be with you. And John 13:34 says, I give you a new command. Love each other. You must love each other just as I loved you. All people will know that you are my followers if you love each other. You know, if you're going out there saying to somebody, if you're, let's say you're trying to start a church, okay? You shouldn't ever start a church. God should call you into a church. He should be the one to tell you, okay, now we're going to do a church. And you shouldn't just say one day, well, I think I'll try, go get a building and start a church. That doesn't work. It has to be God leading, God directing you. And so, anyhow, you're saying, you know, come on, you know, I'm starting a church. You come and socialize with us. But then you don't have any love. So what are you going to give them? More hate? Agreeing with them that the world is all, we know the world's wrong. But we also know we have a Father who loves us and wants to work through us to change the darkness that's in the world. It won't ever all go away, but we can make it a little bit brighter, right? Now, what, over 20 years ago, God spoke to me and he said, daughter, there's going to be a black and a white war. So I went and told, he said, it's going to be bad. So I told Brother Chris, because I always tell somebody else so they know that God told me. We wrote it down. But it got lost in the shuffle with everything else. But anyhow, Chris said, no, blacks and whites will never fight. It's going to be Muslims against the white. What are we in right now? What are we in right now? God never lies. God never lies. So, okay, so we're here, but what is the church going to do about it? Are we going to spread love or are we going to join in with the hate? We're going to spread love. When I was young in school, you know, it was at that point where whites and blacks didn't mix, all right? I'm being honest, all right? If we're not honest, we can't fix anything. And so we had one black couple in our town, and I made friends with the kids in school. They disowned me in school. I was an outcast. I'd bring them home, and my mother would fix supper, you know, all of us, but they would eat supper with us. I played with them. I loved them. I didn't see any difference. You know, I didn't see any difference. We were the same. We bled the same. We talked the same. We laughed the same. We cried the same. I never could understand what that was all about, and I still don't today. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus does not like it. So God is trying to get the church to love each other. It doesn't, you know, Astrid, she's Mexican or whatever she is, Puerto Rican. I can't understand her word tiddly, but we talk together and I'll say, what did she just say to me? You know, we love each other. It doesn't matter if we have a barrier where I can't, she understands me. I just don't understand him. And you know, and everybody knows that that's what, okay, we have to go interpret for Pastor Barbara because she doesn't understand her. Why can't we be human? Why can't we just learn to love? I mean, we're all being persecuted. We all are. Come on. You know, God, he's been teaching us about love for a couple weeks now. Well, really a couple years, but really strong for a couple weeks because he wants us to be different. He wants us to be different. We're not supposed to be like the world. Are you willing to be different this morning? You know, are you willing to, if somebody walks up to you, and everybody knows they don't dare do this to me, but you know, if I'm white, they walk up, but what do you think about the blacks? They don't say that to me. But are you going to agree with them? Or are you going to stick to what you know is right? We are all equal in the eyes of God. We all bleed the same. And you know, I was sitting back there and I see, you know, too many blacks over here and all the whites over here. And I'm sort of thinking, God, integrate us. Make us as one. I've always had a lot of, I don't know if you may call it Afro-Americans or, but it doesn't matter, right? You're Afro-Americans. I've always had a big following of them. Why? Because in their hearts, I know I love them. And I'm not placing them back in a corner somewhere. You two boys, you need to, you know, God really wants you to get a hold of this morning. I really don't know where God says he's taking you in some really deep waters. Now, are you going to drown with the world or are you going to drown with God? That's going to be totally up to you too. And I think God has to give you some more convincing in the gray shirts. I think you have a little bit of issues that God has to deal with. Let him deal with them, all right? I mean, aren't we happy? You know, I just want to see us all happy. And don't tell me that's never going to happen. It can happen. The reason why it doesn't is because too many people say it can't. Jesus never says it can't about anything. Why do we? Why do we? God can do all things. He can do all things. And you know what? You need to sit back and instead of watching what's going on bad and agreeing with it, you need to sit back and watch and say, God, you have this in your hands. I always say, God, you know how to handle this. Just like President Trump. This morning, I had a long talk with God about that because I had some issues about what somebody was saying about him. And I cried and went before God, and God gave me my answers. See, God will give you your answers. You don't have to go to man or woman. God will give you your answers. I have issues about the church, you know, this church. This is the one that I'm pastor. I'm not the one down the block. Why are we not still in total unity in love? What is the hindrance? Do you ever sit and ask God, what's the hindrance in my family? Why can't my husband and I love each other? Why can't we love our kids? If we profess to be just like Jesus, why is that not happening? Do you ever ask God those things? You should ask God things like this and ask him to lead, guide, and direct you. God said right now, he's saying right now, this morning he is issuing in a new dispensation of people that will walk as Jesus did. And all manner of evil will be put aside in you as you walk closer and closer and closer with God. In other words, you're going to be walking so close to God, there won't be any evil. There won't be any questions about, you know, where am I going to end up at? I need to think we need to quit asking ourselves that. You know, how many people say to you, are you going to go to heaven? I don't know that answer to that question. Once saved, always saved is his life in the pits of hell. And the word of God tells me, work out your salvation, how? Daily. You know, I could be doing something stupid 5 minutes from now and the devil give me a heart attack and kill me and I could go to hell. That is a fact. So, you know, don't think that you've got it made in the shade because you don't. We have to work at this thing. How many of you are workers? And you have to work at your work, right? You just don't go there and say, here I am, and then everything gets done for you, does it? In the same way with your walk with God, you have to work out your salvation. You have to work at staying in the presence of the Most High God. I'm hearing God say, I am him. I am at fever pitch right now. And I'm looking around about, and I am dropping my glory on the hearts that truly want me right now. Some of you are sort of, you know, on the sideline, but you really want everything that God has for you, but you have some issues that God wants to deal with, but he's still looking at you because he knows the depth of your heart. He's not looking at the outside, he's looking at the depth of your heart. And he's saying some of you have been taught wrong, and he's been trying to teach you the right way, and you got into confusion, but he's going to take all that confusion away right now. Is he just sit in his presence then let him change you into the vessel of honor that he wants you to be. Not that you want to be, or not what somebody else expects out of you, but what he wants you to be. Just let him keep working. Let him keep changing. Let him do the deep works that needs to be done right now. Father God, send your angelic host in here right now. Let your angels, Father God, walk to and fro throughout these seats. And Father God, change the hearts that want to be changed. And we thank you for it. And God's saying there's a deliberate change in the atmosphere. Do you want this deliberate change to drop on you? In other words, you want to change so desperately that you're not going to allow anything to come and stop the change from taking place. And he's also placing a value on your life. When he places a value on your life, the enemy has to leave. He can no longer continue to try to destroy you. If you want that value on your life right now, just receive it right now. The goodness of God is surrounding you. There's also a turbulence in the air. God is blowing a wind, a strong wind across this room right now. And you're going to be able to go into the waters that are troubled. And there's going to be such an anointing upon your life that those troubled waters are going to be stilled.